Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, April 7th.
TGIF.
And we're wondering this morning if we're going into war or what, right?
Yes, I should not have started with TGIF. Sorry.
Right. But the Russians always have something to say, and they don't like what we're doing. So what do we know so far, Tori? 59 cruise missiles.
Yeah, so here's the deal. We heard from President Trump at his Mar-a-Lago setup for his press briefing, which is funny only because his mic didn't work. So in the archives, when we listen back to this, his very first missile, his very first sort of military strike, other than that SEAL attack, he goes in and out of static. So it was just, that's why you do it at the White House. That's because they're all set up for this. So he announced that 59 Tomahawk missiles were sent in retaliation of what they think is sarin gas attack on women and children and civilians in Syria by Assad. And they only went after the airfield where the nerve gas attacks happened. So
right,
this wasn't after anybody. They wanted to make this a point. They wanted to say, we're doing this, but they didn't want to kind of create anything. This was not like a one-time thing. Obama wanted to do this, and Congress kind of didn't want him to do this, but it's back and forth. But this was, he sounded very presidential. I thought he sounded great, other than the microphone, which you can't really hear him, but I think he was genuinely affected by the pictures and videos they showed
him. The pictures were just amazing.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't believe, and it stays in your mind, those kids,
He was very much affected. He kept saying beautiful babies, the beautiful babies, which for Trump, it's like pretty vulnerable for him. He doesn't usually get to those, even though it sounds weird. But what the thing is that this has happened before with Assad, and those pictures have happened before, but he wasn't aware of them.
Right.
So, like, I've seen pictures of children like this before. It's just that he didn't know this was happening because he wasn't really aware.
Well, when was it happening before?
Oh, Assad's done it like 7 times.
Right, but not recently.
Yeah, not like in the past like 20 years, we've seen him do it over and over.
Trump has been there.
Oh no, but okay. I'm saying like recently, meaning like if you were in politics, you would have known he's done this before,
Right.
So it's just awful. And hopefully we don't know if we're at war, which is, obviously to have war, it does take an act of Congress, although the president does have 90 days to have war without Congress, if you didn't know that, the War Act.
I don't think he's interested in war, though,
I don't know. The cynic in me says that being a war president makes you automatically more
prone.
Everyone likes you. Being a war president, you're much more popular.
Okay.
He has a lot of issues he wants to erase and get the attention off of.
Right.
So, but at the same time, I think he was affected by this.
Right.
I really do. And I think he wanted to show that he's not going to take it. By the way, Russian troops are in Syria and near that air base.
Right.
So it's not, this was also to show that, maybe he's showing Russia that he's not going to just do whatever they want.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, the conflict could even start between the U.S. and Russia over Syria.
Word that apparently they did let some Russian people know what was
about
happening beforehand.
It in advance,
So, it seems to have been somewhat tactful. No one seems to be highly against it in the Congress. This seems to me somewhat of a bipartisan okayed act, because at some point you say there's a line and you crossed it.
Yeah.
So Assad is, he crossed a line.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. If you remove him, it could be so bad, just like with Iraq.
It's so touchy. So it's so fragile.
So there's really no good solution.
Oh, it's fragile. It's fragile. Yeah. We know, though, that he's more hawkish than, let's say, Obama, in terms of saying, I'm going to do it without thinking about it. And he did it. And you know what? Some people say good for him, really, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of people are happy about this simply because it was against civilians and it touches us here. I mean, I'd like to think that Americans are really compassionate people.
I think so, too. And even me, who really dislikes the president, was touched by what it sort of looked like real genuine
shock. Well, that's
shock.
Good. I appreciate that, you know, because it shows you're a reasonable person, not just, you know, so stubbornly on one side.
Right, right. I hope this doesn't escalate, but I understand both points of waiting and then not waiting, because sometimes you got to show Assad, I have a bigger dick than you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Does he? I don't know.
No, he has small hands. Yeah, very, very small hands.
Yeah, forget about the hands. That doesn't mean anything. Anyway,
he has a small little ego. He's got a huge ego, small little penis. That's my hypothesis. Who knows?
Yeah, there you go. So you were out yesterday. Any interesting stories from jury duty or what's going on?
Oh, that's what happened yesterday. I totally repressed it. Oh, my God. I was like, I did something really interesting. I met some cool people. I was on a really cool case, and I was jury number 7.
Really?
And I was in what I thought was like the OJ. It was on the OJ floor. It was in the OJ building.
Really?
The same trial building. So I was like, I'm Marsha Clark. or Kato Kaelin. Anywho, It had to do with the cops. Oh. And if you know stuff about the law. And of course I didn't want to be there. Okay. Cause they were like, it might go like 15 days.
Right. Exactly.
So, I was supposed to be a lawyer all my life. So I was like, I started citing cases. I started using constitutional law. And they were like, juror number 7, you are excused.
Too much information, so right?
Like 3 people were excused because they didn't speak English. And then they're like, and you, and I was like, bye.
Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to get out of it, but you
could tell someone was trying really. Juror number 11 was like, I don't like the government. And they're like, we didn't even ask you a question yet. And he was like, oh.
You already rehearsed it, right?
Yeah, they were like, you're not going. But man, it was very respectful, and the judge was very kind, and the lawyers were great. But one person was like, I've had a bad experience with cops. And she was like, the defense attorney was like, do you think you could try to overcome that? And he's like, I could try, but to be super honest with you, there might be a bias. And she looks at him and goes, have you ever heard of Yoda? And we're like, oh, God. And she was like, Yoda says, don't. She said some quote, which wasn't Yoda, which is like, don't ever try is nothing, just do. And she said something fakakta. And she was like, so can you be like Yoda? Can you just do? And he was like, I guess. So she's like, let me ask you a question again. Are you going to do it? And he's like, I'll try. It was so funny.
Wow.
So she didn't make any friends. But the it was just fascinating. Process. Wow. Fascinating.
It is. But yeah, 15 days would have been way too long to sit there.
Oh, my God. I had to do with an eyewitness. And the only eyewitness account was someone young with, you know, developmental issues. And I was like, this is going to be fascinating. But they were like, do you know anything about eyewitness accounts? I was like, I cited 3 Supreme Court cases.
Oh, my God. You're crazy. Like, wow.
They're like,
so they didn't want someone who knew so much.
No. Wow. It was the prosecution that was like, and you'll be, they each get 10 to get rid of. And she was just like, number 7, like the first thing out of her mouth. So it's interesting to see who they do want.
Yeah. Maybe they thought you were like a law student or something, you know, or
they
lawyer.
Also, and there was a woman who was married to a criminal defense attorney that they asked to be recused. So, they want someone who's just fair and hearing a story. You know, they don't want someone who has some background. So I tried everything I could. And it worked.
Good for you.
And I had some good deli for lunch.
Did you really?
Yeah, Wexler.
So this was like downtown, right?
Yeah. And then I met this lovely chap and we went to have lunch at Grand Central Market right down the street.
Mm.
And juror number 7's day was over.
Nice to have you back with us.
Thank you.
And so yesterday I had a great guest. Her name was Izina, and a very talented woman. I mean, you'd be amazed. And she went to the University of Michigan.
No way.
Yeah. So I said, Tori would have loved you,
sorry.
You know?
Go blue. I would have loved her.
Yeah, exactly. And she went go blue, too.
She did.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So she had quite a story, too, and that was interesting. So. If anybody didn't listen yesterday, you should
tune in. I'm
going to
listen
for sure.
Oh, and also RIP to Don Rickles passed away yesterday.
Yes, Don Rickles, finally. I mean, one of the last of
the greats
of the gang, right?
Oh, yeah. He
pretty much.
90. He was always.
We still have Tony Bennett around us. But
yes.
Yeah.
But he was kicking it to the end, man. That guy was hilarious.
He's funny.
My friend got up and he made fun of me. He goes, my friend He gets up and he goes, "You look like a gay Clark Kent." It's like a year ago. He was so, and he does. It was really? So funny. Yeah, it was
dark. A year ago, so he's still funny.
He's kicking it. Yeah, he's great. Wow. So may he rest. He was funny to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, folks, we're going to bring in our guest right now. There's a lot going on in the news, but we don't care when we have a special guest in the studio. We're joined, actually, once again, by Mr. Nick Arnett. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Hey there.
Yes, and Nick remembers that he's been here before, but we couldn't remember how long ago. So,
A couple of years, I think.
Wow.
Not
yeah.
here then.
What's that?
No Tori at that
time. No, Tori wasn't here at that time.
She was still, God.
Yeah. She was still a glint in her mother's eye at that point. No, it wasn't that long ago, folks. But at any rate, Nick is known as a funny man, and you write, and you make people laugh and stuff. So that's cool. So let's tell us a little bit about, really, you tell us what it is that you do exactly.
Okay, well, I'm a speaker. I'm the feel-good funny guy. So I speak about humor. I have a book called Me, We, and Glee, How to Have a Great Attitude, Work as a Team, Keep Your Sense of Humor. And that's kind of what I'm all about.
Oh, wow.
So you
speak like for companies and
exactly.
things like that, businesses as well, right?
Exactly.
To show them how to get along and laugh with each other.
And how to use the appropriate humor in the workplace, because you know what you can use on a comedy stage is not the same
no.
that you can use
no.
in the office.
Right.
I had
right.
to learn that the hard way.
Yeah.
Not safe for work,
no.
right?
Yeah.
Wow. So now, have you dabbled in stand-up comedy and things
oh,
like that?
Oh, for years and years, right. yes. I started March 26, 1984 in Denver. Roseanne was in the local scene then, so yeah. I worked with her. And
was it here in L.A.?
That was in Denver. When she was
oh,
starting
Denver.
Out. Yeah,
oh, wow.
So we did a lot of gigs together.
Really?
Yeah, opening act. I can remember one of the first five-minute spots I got at the Comedy Works in Denver. She killed. She was a local favorite. And then I was very new. I'd only been doing it a few months. And I had to follow her
yeah,
with
the
a five-minute act.
The worst. Oh, it's
I had
the worst.
To follow
it's
Roseanne.
It's so bad. And Roseanne, was she kills on stage.
Killed.
Yeah.
yeah.
She was one of the very first sort of females to do it who was hitting it really big. And as a housewife, she was always the angry housewife.
Right.
And she was still so funny.
Yeah. That's true. I remember Rosie O'Donnell like a long time ago when she got started. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that was like... What 30 years ago, mm-hmm. I remember her being on, there was like a stand-up showcase or something and on VH1 every Friday. I remember that. And she
yeah.
was like the host and they had like the best comedians
yeah.
and stuff. But that's how I learned about her.
Yeah.
And then she became big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, Rosie, Roseanne, whatever, you know, I mean, they're funny. So are you originally from Denver?
Denver's my hometown. I've been really? Out here 26 years, though. Now.
Really?
So I lived in Seattle for 3 years, but I like it here the most because
yeah.
I like being warm, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it nice?
Really?
Totally.
Except Tori's wearing a big old
a beanie.
Big old hat today.
The beanie is here because of a bad hair day, and I would like to say it's a slouchy beanie, and it's in style.
Okay.
So I look fine.
You are rocking it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to push it up for the earphones, but yeah, I look great.
And Sam's looking sharp, too, in his camouflage.
I love
we
it.
We can't
see
him.
Him.
We just
Thank
hear
you.
The voice.
Thank
we
you.
Hear
I'm
voice.
Blending into
here.
The white wall.
Can't see him.
Yeah, there you go. But no, I mean, this is like the latest fashion.
Totally
I had,
is.
Yeah, some prints. Because I usually like plain shirts. But there's a lot of prints and stuff this year. So I thought, okay, I'll get whatever's going on.
Or maybe you're thinking they're really
different.
Gonna, maybe a war's going to happen
gonna
and you're
say,
ready.
You're ready.
Exactly.
You're always prepared.
Exactly,
be
yeah.
prepared.
So,
it does look a little like camouflage, but it's a, yeah, it's sort of a...
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to ask you something, Sam, that you just said, though.
You said
Don Rickles finally... Like,
yeah, finally went. Yeah, because I tell you why. Because everybody thought he was dead already, you know?
That's horrible.
You know, the person...
I didn't mean it the way it sounded. I know what you mean. I thought about it when I said it, too.
The one for me that I thought was dead long before they were was Andy Griffith.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
He was around a lot.
Yes.
I thought
That's
he'd
true.
Been gone
no,
a while.
There's,
a long time. Yeah, there's people where I'm like, oh, is that guy still living?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about
yeah.
Don Knotts? Is he still living?
You know, I think he passed, but okay. not. Yeah. But I think
but
he passed.
Not too long ago,
I don't
though,
know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot of people we think are dead.
I'm Don not sure. He would hate that. I'm so sorry. Don not sure. Don Knotts. I performed with his daughter. And she was very funny.
Really?
That's all I had to say. That was the worst story ever.
I hope she doesn't look like him.
Yes.
Yeah, what does she look like?
She kind of, I mean, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She did not, Don Knotts look like him. Again, I'm killing it with these puns.
Yeah, I got to look up Don Knotts' wife. I'd like to see his wife.
I would, too. I would like to see the whole family picture.
He probably had a pretty wife, though.
Oh, he was killing it.
Yeah.
This guy, killing it.
Well, don't they say, like, a guy that can make women laugh, that's women, they always want that?
Are you kidding? If you can cook or make me laugh, you've done it.
Then every woman says, I want a guy that
makes
me laugh.
But here's the thing. Then there's like sense of humor, and I'm a millionaire, and sense of humor is like, I'm just laughing.
Exactly.
And you're like, I ain't laughing with you.
Yeah, not laughing at your wallet.
Yeah, you know, right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
I'm not laughing.
Whoa. So what was growing up in Denver like? Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. All my family's there except me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really
people don't usually leave Denver, actually.
They're all moving there. My brother-in-law and my nephew, they're in home building there. And they say it's the most expensive real estate not next to water in the United States
right now. It is, yeah. Denver's the hottest place to go other than, like, San Francisco.
Yeah.
It used to be Austin, and everyone's like, oh, no, Denver.
Yeah, there
I'm like,
you
oh,
go.
No, it's going to get gentrified already.
The crowds at the comedy clubs there, especially the Comedy Works, they're like no other.
Really?
I was really spoiled to start there. It just booming. It's just great.
Yeah, it's a new cosmopolitan place to be.
Yeah. So what were you doing there? I mean, did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to Colorado State University.
Oh, okay.
And then I was in the mortgage business. Uh-huh. I did that
for... That's hilarious.
Yeah, for 4.5 years, because that's how long it takes a loan to be approved, everybody. So then during that time, in the summer of 1980, I saw Tim Allen on an all-night TV show in Denver. It was experimental TV in Denver. It was kind of like this show, but it was on TV late at night.
Okay.
And he said he'd be at the Comedy Works. Didn't even know there was a comedy club. I thought comedians were kind of like the old the guys you see at supper clubs or in the what do you call that place in New York, the Catskills, kind of like that, like the Shecky Green stuff, which was also great. But that's kind of what I thought comedians were. I didn't know there were comedy clubs with comedians. And I went there and never laughed so hard in my life.
Really?
So
I liked
it. I want to do this. So I spent just 2 years. I'd go every chance I had to go watch comedy. And then I was out here, and I'd see people on New Talent Night for a dollar. And then these stars would step in. Sam Kennison would show up. And I just saw some great people to model after. And March 26th of 84, I finally hopped up on the stage in Denver, and I've been doing it ever since.
Very cool, yeah. So you went to New York, too? I mean, oh, no, you were comparing this to New York. What am I talking about?
I've been in New York and done comedy.
So I'm starting to picture, like, New York in my mind. I'm like going, because in New York, there's a lot of comedy and things like that going on, right?
Right.
Just like in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
But you're saying the Denver scene is pretty busy, too.
Pretty good, yeah. And for me, the comedy scene, the stand-up scene, now, I'm actually doing a new album this year. I haven't done one in a while. I have one now, The Best of Nick Arnett, and it's getting pretty good play on the satellite radio, which I'm real happy about.
Very
that's
cool.
Awesome.
So I'm going to do
it. So will they have like a comedy channel or something there?
Yeah, that's the Laugh USA network. Plays me quite a bit, and I like that because it's all clean comedy on that. So that's my brand.
Oh, I'm clean comedy too.
Yeah, there you go.
But
we'll
I do curse in the middle of it, but I should submit my stuff to that.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, there's people that listen to that all day.
Because, you know, it doesn't have to be filthy to be funny, right?
Oh, God. Yeah. Mine are so lame.
But other, you know, some of the stuff that's over the edge, that can be funny, too. I'm not going to say it's not. I mean, there's some great, like Louis C.K., he goes over. And I just think
Chris
he's a
Rock,
genius.
All those.
There you go.
But, like, Ellen makes me laugh harder, probably her early stand-up. But, like, here and now, that stuff. And she's talking about toilet paper. Like, it could not be more clean. I mean, it's little stuff we all imagine. We're all just observational humor.
Right.
And it's so clean, but it's so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a joke about salads being, like, exciting, you know, like I have the same type of humor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that. I like that clean comedy. I should submit. You're right.
Yeah. That's, why not submit everywhere?
Because have you ever seen a comic, either one of you, that is really dirty, goes over the line, but you're with somebody and you're kind of embarrassed?
It's so it's the worst.
Right?
Bad over the top comedy could be that and bad improv. It's worse to be in the audience. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And some comics, if they're in the audience, they definitely are. They're playing for the comics in the back of the room, so they'll go way over the edge.
It's bad.
And I don't know. I don't like that or the put down, except for Don Rickles. Don Rickles was a put down comic, but off stage, I know a lot of people that can attest to this. He was like the nicest guy you'd ever meet.
Yeah, just a wonderful man.
Yeah, so that was just his act.
So
you
people
know?
Knew that about him. He didn't really mean what he said.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and for many years, Howard Stern was just like that. You know, he put on a persona. Today, he's a lot more genuine. But that's what happens. I mean, you create that. The same with Rodney Dangerfield.
I can't imagine
he was like that in real life.
I hope not.
He was totally different.
What if he was like, I get so much respect.
Yeah, I know. But I loved him. He was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really good. So did you feel like you were influenced by anybody? Because people always ask that stuff. Or did you feel, I mean, was there anybody that you thought, he's influenced me a lot in my comedy.
Early on, very much so, Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? So that's one of the first ones you saw.
He didn't work clean at all, and his premises were really basic, like a lot of bathroom humor and like high school boy humor.
Totally.
But he came up on stage dressed in a suit, and his delivery was really eloquent, and he...
He's well-spoken.
Right? Very polished, mm-hmm. and I knew, I just knew he would make it big. I have a really good eye for talent. There's a comic now. I think her name is Taylor. I'll think of her last name before this is over, but she's just really moving up super fast. Taylor Tomlinson.
I know her.
Yes.
I love Taylor Tomlinson.
So I saw her. I said, man, I wish I could be your manager. Not connected enough, but I couldn't find her one because I... Absolutely. She's going, right?
Yeah, I know her. I perform with her. She's very good.
Man.
She's great. And she's getting headlining. Headlining, yeah.
But she's going to go even bigger than that. Yeah. She's already bigger than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for her.
That's great.
Wow.
I wish I could have managed her.
Yeah. So did you start performing around Denver then?
That's where I started. Now, I'll say this. I learned it in a couple of different ways. I'm pretty shy. When I get in front of a group of people, if I could make them laugh, then I was comfortable. Then I could stand in front of them and not feel so awkward. So that was one of them. And then I did skits in a high school youth group, church youth group. And that kind of gave me the bug for the comedy. But then the biggest thing is I was working for a computer company. They were known as a copier company, Savin. But they started selling computers for a little while. So I did a presentation in front of the company for training. And I was funny. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, if this doesn't work out for you, you absolutely could make it as a stand-up comedian. But he really meant it.
Wow.
Really meant it, and I didn't forget it.
Wow, that's cool. So it stayed with you.
So it's, people out there, you know, encourage people. If you see something good in them, encourage them.
Because
so
you remembered all these years later.
I do. I'll never find out. I don't even know who the guy
was. Right, but it made a big impact.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you wrote the book Me, We, and Glee. Is that your most recent book? Because you also have the Book of Dude
The
as
Book
well.
Of Dude has been around for so long. Yeah, yeah. I hardly even do that bit. But the premise is name a dude. I'll name a dude from any country. Like if you're in Mexico, would you be Maduro or... or, you know, if you're in Nepal, you'd be Kathmandu. You know. It's just dumb stuff,
dude,
right? It's just dumb.
Yeah. It's my
you know what the funny thing is on Howard Stern, they have a little sound bite from one of their the guys there. And it's always like, dude, you know. So you don't know if he says dude, D-O-O, or dude, or what, you know. But it's like they always bring it in, like, dude. So so you managed to find dude in everything. Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
I don't. Sometimes I even forget to do it when I'm on stage because I've done it so long. It was my signature piece.
Yeah,
I actually was hoping that Book of Dude would be my pet rock. You
sure,
know?
Of course. Yeah.
It sold pretty well, but it never like really took off.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you came up with Me, We, and Glee. That's more recent, right?
More recent.
When did you publish that one?
It's been 2 or 3 years. I'm going to update it too.
Cool. So tell us what it's about, though. It looks
but the
like
concepts
fun.
Are eternal. Well, the whole thing, the first part is how to have a great attitude. And that's the most important part of everything. You guys have a great attitude. But sometimes you don't feel like having a great attitude.
Right.
So really, you have to learn to be in control of your thoughts. And it's much easier to act yourself into a feeling than feel yourself into an action. So many people wait till they feel like doing something to do it.
Right.
But just like we were talking about this morning, you get up and do the radio show. You might not feel like getting
up. Right, but I do it.
But once you get here, it's like,
I'm in it. That's very true.
So often it's worth it, right? Going through the unpleasant stuff in order to get to the pleasant stuff.
You have to be in charge of yourself,
yeah.
And once you get going, then you're starting to feel better. But you're in charge of everything.
Right. And some people don't understand that.
But
it's
that's
like,
so interesting.
Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? But the thing is, things happen to everybody, right? That's how you respond.
It's not only everybody falls right. down, but not everybody gets back up again, right?
Yeah. Right.
But a friend of mine was telling me last week that has a production company now. Took him 13 years, but he's got it going on now. But that's what he said.
That's what I have a quote on my vision board, which could not sound more lame. But it says there's a famous Japanese proverb, fall down 7, stand up 8. And it's like you keep falling down, but
right.
you stand up one more time, then you fall down and you'll make it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't
well,
that great?
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. You know, I mean, you got to be persistent, you know.
Well, you know, things don't. And when everybody goes through tough times, everybody does. But they're temporary. You get through them.
Yeah.
And we've all made it through life. You know, you're still here.
Somehow
you make it through. And at the time you're in it, you go, this really sucks.
But I think that's such a good lesson to say, like what you said about acting. Say that again, the acting feeling thing.
Act yourself into a feeling rather than
feeling yourself
into
an
action.
Because I think a lot of the time I'm like, I'm not feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I won't do it. And I'm like, I guess that was a big moment when you said that. Because I was like, oh, just like almost like fake it till you make it until you're there. Yeah, and then you'll get there.
Right. I mean, sometimes I laugh because we have the nieces in the family, little girls. And, you know, they're like, I totally forgot what I wanted to say. Shit. What did we just talk about?
We were talking about feelings and acting.
Being in charge.
Being in charge of feelings.
Oh, when
I
they
don't
say,
feel like it.
Yeah, I don't feel like it. That's what they say. I don't feel like it. And they learn it from us. And the funny thing is I'm like, what do you mean you don't feel like
right.
it? But I do that all the time. And it makes you lazy sometimes, you know? You just got to do it, man.
A good word of advice for everyone out there. And it's very simple. Every single day, make yourself do one thing that you don't feel like doing.
Ooh, that's so good.
Right.
What
right.
that does is then you tell yourself that your body doesn't tell you what to do.
You tell your body.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Whoa, okay. So what is one thing that you don't feel like doing that you're going to do, Sam?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of...
I'm going to pick up my boots that I've had resold for a long time. And I'm going to make a phone call to a friend I've been avoiding.
There you go. And
nice.
You see, I don't return phone calls.
I don't return phone calls.
Right. Because I'm too lazy.
Me?
I mean, personal ones too. I do, but business ones, I'm like, send me an email.
I don't like the phone.
Yeah.
Me
you know?
Too.
So it's just like, but you got to do it.
Right.
You
got to
do it. You know, if I don't do it, I'm going to miss that prospective customer.
And you don't feel like doing it, so you don't, I literally don't pick up the phone, but
right.
I got to act like it and then I'll do it, which is, to be honest, terrifying.
Right.
Because I have a phobia about the phone.
Right.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't like talking on the phone. I'll throw the phone away as if they can see me and then run the other way like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like talking on the phone that much
either.
Yeah,
but you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she overdoes
I overdo it.
The aversion to the phone.
It's bad.
Well, your generation is less
phone
anyway.
I know. But I was like a little too old to be like in the generation, so my parents were mad at me. Now it's like okay to just text.
Yeah.
But I was too I missed it by a couple of years.
Well, hey, my mom is 80, what is she, 83 now? And she just got a phone where she texts.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And it's really cut down on the phone calls, which is great.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
My mom just found emojis. So it's like sheep and chicken all the time and suns and moons. I'm like, you know, they're supposed to mean something, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just got a phone from my mom too, but she won't text. So she just takes phone calls. I'm like, why do you need the phone? I mean, even Facebook you're not using. I'm trying to show her a million times.
Yeah.
This is how you use Facebook.
It's
all
hard.
You gotta do is scroll.
I know.
That's all you gotta do is scroll.
But scrolling's not normal for them in their fingers,
right?
You know?
I mean, when she presses the iPhone button, she really presses it.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's a button.
It's
you know,
so funny. Yeah.
So, but so yeah, so I'm paying for her phone and everything. She doesn't even use it other than phone calls. I'm like, you guys have a landline here. Why are we doing this? But she kept insisting on wanting a phone because everybody has one.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the good attitude. I was even reading a few weeks ago that people with good attitudes, or if they're sick, if they have a good attitude that they're going to overcome their illness, they have a much better chance of getting
of
well.
Healing.
They
yeah.
get well without any
and
medication.
Much faster.
Right?
With much less pain medication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we were talking, in fact, yesterday I was talking to a friend, and we were talking about how, like, it's all in the head. You know, I mean, you see people that are sick with the same illness, one sort of like continues to make it and the other one just goes, you know, and you realize that, like, and I'm seeing it with my parents, you know, like on the one hand, my mom could get up if she really wanted to off her wheelchair, but I think she doesn't want to for some reason or not try hard enough. My dad's got Parkinson's where he won't stay sitting down for 2 minutes and
so you
he keeps
see both.
Falling.
You see both.
Yeah, my dad fell the other day. I can't even tell you. We have it on video. And it's really sickening to see them at this age falling and stuff, you know. So
well, and a lot of the time, if you don't want to get out of the wheelchair too, like my grandmother, she was just so scared of falling,
right?
Which then happens, then you see someone fall, and you're like, "Well, right. See, I didn't want to do that." But my mother would always be such a nudge with my grandparents, like, "Get up and walk, 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 walk," and it was like they didn't feel like it, but
I know you got to make them do it, you know. And what? And so, Nick, do you do that with when you work with clients? You actually motivate them and things like that.
Well, that's the idea. That's the concept to leave them with, and hopefully they'll refer me to get others. But it's a great concept, and it's a very simple concept, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you need to be reminded, just like anything else. People, that's why people have personal trainers. They could do the exercise, but if they get somebody that's going to have them do it,
exactly,
whether they
feel
motivate
like it or
not,
them and everything,
then they're going to do it.
Like Oprah, you know who Dr. Phil was before Dr. Phil? Oprah took Dr. Phil with her when she got sued by the beef company because she wanted an attitude person right next to her the entire trial. She wanted someone to keep her sane.
Wow.
She was also shooting down there. Yeah. And he sat next to her the entire time. And then that's how, and he helped her pick, like they helped pick the jury. Like he was on help, but to make her feel like an attitude coach, just like you said.
Wow. So you need that. Because sometimes people tend to jump into the negative side.
And not only that, I mean, those of you out there that are more positive, even when you encourage other people, then you get to hear some of these things back and remind yourself. And that's a good thing. I don't know if you guys know, I work part-time with teens that are addicted to drugs at a group. I do that part-time. I love it.
Really?
I love it because it really keeps me grounded. But I use these concepts. Every single day, I start the day with them by saying, don't forget to be awesome. And then I go around the room, how are you going to be awesome today?
That's good. So you direct their mind into something positive rather than what a shitty day this is going to be.
Or what a bad person you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look what you did again.
Look what you've done in your past. Yeah. Exactly. I have a book on my bookshelf that says... I'm awesome, and then it's each day you're like, it's like I'm super fucking awesome, and then I write in it like stuff I've done well. And when my friend gave it to me, I was like really hesitant to write in it because I was like, well, I can't say I'm super fucking awesome, like that's ridiculous. But why not? Like in a lot of other cultures, that's a totally normal thing to be like really happy with yourself.
It's true, you know. I mean, sometimes you read things like this that make you think.
Yeah,
you know?
I was so guilty about.
It's like, you know, I saw a book title called "Why Not Me." And I'm like, why not me? You know, why should it be somebody else making it all the time? And that's a good way to think about it, you know? So
positivity.
Yeah, you got to be positive. You got to think about yourself.
So what happens, though, when you're really down? Like both Sam and I have been really down. What do you do when you're that down where you're like, I can't really fake it? What do you kind of motivate with?
Well, for me, this is what I would do. I would get something. I would get a journal like what you had, and I would write down anything good that happened that day. Anything. It might only be a couple things, but as days go on, you're more likely to look for things are good. Yeah. Because that's not always going to be great.
No.
It's just
not always going to be good. And I'm studying Buddhism, and Pema Chodron's the teacher. She doesn't know me, but I know her. And she was like, there was a woman asking. She's like, I'm not happy about anything except for this dog I saw for a couple seconds. And Pema was like, spend all day thinking about that dog. Like, write down the one thing that, even if it was one or two things.
You know, most of our thought life, most of our thought process is negative. Most of it is. So
right?
It's just
is that how we're like trained or what? What's going on with that?
It's a culture thing, according to Pema. She says in Eastern culture, when the Dalai Lama came, he said, it's so drastically different out here. It's just a different culture.
Right.
Well, that's what we see, you know, on the news, of course. And the Facebook feeds are so ugly now with the political stuff.
It's what we get. Yeah, the information is negative.
Yeah, so just getting that all the time. So a lot of division, unfortunately. I think there's a big thing in the country here where if you disagree with someone, they automatically think you hate them. Or if you disagree with them, then there's something really wrong with you.
With you, and right? That's, I mean, what is that?
That is too bad.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me.
But I think it's always been like that about religion and politics. And that's why people say don't discuss that if you can't help it. Because people are so entrenched in their opinions and their views that it doesn't matter what you say, they're not going to change their mind. So thus they become like, it's either you or me. You know, if you're not with me, you're against me. I think that's the kind of attitude there is out there.
I think it's out. Yeah. I think it goes by culture, and our culture is very me, focused on me and how I can be competitive with you. And it's right. not about what can I learn from you or positivity in some respects.
Well said, Tori, because I think in our things, it's that be the best you can be. Yeah. I mean, we idolize stars on a baseball team or basketball. We can only really mention a couple players on each team because that's who we idolize, even though there's a whole team. Right. They're all professionals. Mm-hmm.
But
all
some people stand out, right?
Yeah,
some
and they're the ones that get everything.
Right.
That's very like Western hemisphere of us is like the star instead of like right. teamwork.
Yeah, same with actors. I don't get where these animated films where anybody's voice would work. Right.
Right. Right. And they only pick high
stars. And it's
right.
Like,
that's amazing. Right. Yeah. But apparently they can act with their voices too, you know, and they
I'm sure they're
convey.
Good. There's some great people that.
Right, but they bring the stars because that's who draws
But it's frustrating for us voiceover actors.
Right. Exactly. No, but I mean, can you imagine anybody else doing Dory other than Ellen? You know, I mean, she does it perfectly. So that's the thing. You know, I think they and if you notice many times they make the characters based, at least in their looks and their attitude, on the actor.
Yeah, they drew Ellen's eyes the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, for Dory.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And she was good, but yeah.
One thing I fit it in here somewhere, we're talking about humor and positivity. Sarcastic humor has no place in the work environment. So that's one thing I want people to know out there. It's a fun thing to do on stage. It's hilarious. Right. Don Rickles was great at it. But, you know,
you could offend too many people.
Easily. And you can't undo it. And particularly now in this politically correct age. Because what it does is put somebody on the defensive. So then they're going to want to fight back or they're going to be hurt. They're going to be resentful. It's very costly. So definitely stay away from it as much as you can. Save it for the comedy stage. Get up there and do some comedy.
Do your own. Yeah. And also my boss at work was saying when she hears just like little negative comments, even if they're joking, she tries to stop it right away because negativity builds on negativity. And then the whole theme of the thing is to complain.
That's true.
So she's like, try and stop it right away.
Like commiserate. You
know? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We even have a word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commiserate. I like that word. Yeah, commiserate. That's good, Sam.
Yeah. So we're speaking to Nick Arnett joining us this morning. The book, Me, We, and Glee, How to Have a Great Attitude. That's what it's all about, right? It's about attitude, how you view, how you approach what life has given you.
And it all starts because everything starts with a thought process. Every single thing here, everything in the room, somebody thought about it before it became something. So our thoughts determine how we feel. Our feelings determine our attitude. Our attitude determines our behavior. And ultimately, our behavior over time determines our character. That's who we are. So, but it's the thought process.
Yeah.
Start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So you decided to take this line of work. What were you doing right before that? Before you became like professional at this?
Well, I started the mortgage banking. Then I went into the stand-up full-time.
Nice.
Oh, really? Yeah. So directly from that, you went into stand-up. Uh-huh. So you've been doing this for a while.
Then I did that. And then I've been working with this nonprofit for about 6.5 years now.
Nice.
And that's a part-time job. It's just perfect for me.
Yeah.
Because I really like it. I get to practice what I preach and... and I like the kids. I think it's just they're teenagers.
Yeah,
in a spot where
they're the most cynical.
Yeah, but they're in a spot that maybe not right at the time, but some of these things might come back. But they're at least they've got a lot of their life left ahead.
Yeah, and they're flexible because they're right on the edge of being cynical, but also kind of being kids still. You know,
right.
So if you can catch them before they get to be cynical adults, the better.
There you go.
Right. Now, when you have a counselor like you, do they match by gender too, or would you get like female teens too that you would counsel?
Well, I'm in charge of the education there, so okay. I'm not the counselor.
So you're not a counselor?
No.
Okay.
No.
So what does that mean in charge of the education?
Well, I make sure they're getting back into school.
Okay.
In the classes they need to graduate, some career guidance. Yeah.
That's cool. So you guys get them the whole package.
Yeah. Set them up with the tutors they need.
It's not enough to get them off the drugs and stuff. You got to build a life for them.
Get their lives back on track.
Wow. Yeah.
What's the nonprofit called?
It's called the Asian American Drug Abuse Program.
Wow.
And I'm at Olympia Academy.
Wow.
So that's where I'm at.
That's awesome.
Mr. Nick, they call me there.
Mr. Nick. Yeah. That's awesome. Mr. Nick.
It's great. I have Fridays off. That's why I'm here right now.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, so you have a fun life. How about personal life? I mean, do you have a family, kids?
No, never married. Isn't that sad?
Wow.
I'm on the eHarmony.
Nice.
Right now, I'm really? Trying.
So he decided, finally, I'm going to let go and marry.
Well, I've been trying, but it's just, that funny thing, it only works, only goes so far. Yeah, uh-huh. I can make him laugh, but I can't make him marry me, I guess. Yeah.
So you said you don't have a game
yet,
right?
Well, you know what's really bugging me now? I got to confess with you two that I'm in my 50s, right? So now the women I'm dating are grandmas. And
right.
That it's just kind of like
a turn off, like a boner shrinker. Yeah.
Doesn't that suck? And we become grandparents.
We've
too.
We've been talking about
if
it.
If you
with
had
Sam.
Kids, you would have been a grandpa now.
Yeah.
I'm just about there too. My
it's weird. It must
20s.
Be really weird to be dating grandmas. That is weird.
Right.
Because yeah.
So you're trying
like
to go for younger, and sometimes it doesn't work very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because the younger want younger, too. Yeah. So everybody wants young, you know. But also, you got to remember, when you're in your 50s, the pool from which to choose from is not that great.
No.
Because you don't really want to go with women that are older than you. So, you know, so you go with your... Cause, at 57, I don't want a 60-year-old. Give me a 40-year-old, okay? 45. So what happens is, you know, the pool is like, okay, like women within 10 years younger than you at most.
Right.
Okay? When you're in your 30s and your 20s, everybody's possible for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you can be in your 30s and be with a 50-year-old. Who cares, you know?
Right.
But the other way around is different. So... So it's like, because at 57, what the hell do you have to offer anybody?
Right.
You know? Other than a lot of experience
and
wisdom and stuff.
Experience.
Yeah, but for a younger woman, she wants more than that. So,
like,
you know, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard. So eHarmony is probably the good place for you to be.
Well,
But you know, another thing to do is find a matchmaker or something. But they're expensive, man.
Yeah, they are.
I can't tell you how expensive they are.
They're like $100 million expensive.
Yes, yes.
I'm so
and
confused.
And it's only for a limited time. It's
yeah.
not until they meet.
Yeah.
And
it's
there's something,
not until you meet somebody.
And if it's like organic and you meet someone who like sets you up, that's good. But it's there's a creepiness because of
right.
Patty Stanger. But in Judaism, you always had a yenta.
Right.
You always had a matchmaker that was
exactly,
normal.
Exactly. Yeah,
normal.
And in Asian culture too, like
yeah,
in Mulan and
yeah, you matchmake.
Yeah,
but no.
So yeah, so that's
yeah. And there's a lot of ghosting with these things.
Oh,
too,
the
right?
worst.
Yeah,
I introduced Sam to the word ghosting when it was happening, and it was like we use it so much. Ghosting is just and it's specifically on online dating. You get a good date, right. You have a good time, and you never hear
and
from them again.
They disappear slowly.
Last night, I'm on the coffee meets bagel, too.
Sure.
Really nice. I said, hey, I'm going to meet some friends of mine for happy hour tonight. Then she says, hey, that's great. And I said, well, hey, what you work downtown. Maybe we can meet next week for happy hour. How about it?
Nothing.
Hey, it was nice that you got to meet your friends for happy hour. And that's it. Nothing else.
So, I've heard of coffee meets bagel just the other day.
Yeah,
I
my friends are on
this.
It.
Really?
My friends are on it.
I didn't even know it existed, but
I
got to try that.
They
one.
Were on Shark Tank.
Really?
So
what's interesting about, what's different about it?
I think it's more like coffee dates, right?
Well.
I'm not good at this. I don't know the different ones.
It's, it might have started that way, but they find, it's friends of your Facebook friends.
Oh, that's
kind
right.
kind of the premise
that's
of it.
That's right. It's so people who know of friends of yours.
Friends of friends.
Correct.
But then you can buy bagels. You can pay into it and get more matches and more. You can put like a little flirt button, but you have to buy these beans.
Right.
I mean, this is crazy. It's like you guys are talking
like a game,
a phone
right?
game, like Candy Crush.
Like Candy Crush.
You can
exactly.
buy the beans to make
like.
The thing. That's crazy. You sound crazy. But it's because I got married right before it all blew up.
Right.
So I don't know. Like now there's the league where you have to be in an Ivy League school or Raya, which is the rich people's one.
Ah,
wow.
So these are in, and then you have to get into them. I mean,
and they have the beautiful people ones, of course. They've
that's
had
Raya,
those for
man.
A while. The
God.
Good looking people,
yeah.
you know.
Well, that's the thing. thing. Because I used to be like, okay.
You're very good looking. Wait a minute. If you guys don't know, he's very good looking.
But I'm not. Very good invisible looking. Now. But I used to be like, okay.
Come on.
Maybe like a 7.5 in my prime, right?
Listen, you do feel invisible when you get older.
But I had a girlfriend, it was a little over a year ago, and she says, you used to be so handsome, but I look at pictures, something, you really got old.
Oh, my God.
So she wanted to see a picture of me every single year to see when I really lost all my...
That's terrible.
The youth.
That's the meanest thing anyone could say.
So
that's the meanest. Like, I'm going to go through each picture to see when you lost your mojo.
And that's the whole thing, friends out there. Just because something is true doesn't mean it's okay to say it.
Yes.
You know what? Seriously.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut and filter something.
Are you kidding? Here's that's the rudest thing.
Here's a good acronym. Think. It's like, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it
interesting?
It true? Is it helpful? Or, is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Think about all those things.
Yeah.
Before you say something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because that's probably the worst thing I've ever... I mean, no, it's not, but that's pretty torturous.
It's pretty bad.
I'm going to look at each... I mean, even just saying that is horrible.
Isn't it? It's
horrible.
Forget it. Yeah.
And, you know, as soon as I turn a certain age and I tell people my real age, they go, oh, you don't look it. And I'm like, so I've reached that age where that looks different? Like, I don't know. You get sensitive.
Yeah,
but people are really rude about it.
They got to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
Everything,
now I've reached the age where they don't say you don't look it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I've reached the age where I can try to sneak in for the senior discount and they don't even ask. You know, I pass. So
go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I remember times when I was a kid, at least in Israel, where it was okay. People would say to each other, oh, you gained weight. You know?
Really?
Yeah. So it was okay. It was acceptable.
Like that was
you know?
A compliment then?
Not a compliment, but an observation. Like,
really?
Yeah. How come you've gained weight type of thing?
God, thank God I don't.
Right?
That's like my mother.
Imagine that.
To me.
Yeah. So Nick Arnett, so tell people how they can find you in order to hire you, have them improve the morale, the attitudes.
Great. Yes, nickarnett.com, A-R-N-E-T-T-E, nickarnett.com. You can find me on Facebook, or Twitter, LinkedIn, but my website's the best place to go, and my email's on there as well. Also, you know, how much time we have?
About 4 minutes.
Okay. My goal, I was talking with Tori before, I would like to be the next Huell Howser. I have a little web series now.
Yes.
Do you know who he is?
Of course.
Yeah, he's like a local sort of TV stuff.
He just goes and talks to people.
He just talks. Yeah.
And I have
in California.
You can find it. It's called Cool People I Know or Meet with Nick Arnett. And you can find it through my website or on YouTube. But I just talk to people. I have almost 70 episodes now up
That's
there.
That's awesome.
Really?
That's what I'd like
and
to
And where
do.
Can we see it?
But just go. You can go to my website and find
it's on
them
your
there,
website then?
Or you can go to YouTube and find it.
And cool what's people. It called again?
Cool People I Know or Meet.
That's
Nick Arnett.
That's a cool episode.
Yeah.
That's a lot of
it's
episodes.
It's like comedians getting cars with coffee.
Yeah.
You see, that's what we do. We get to meet cool people every day here.
Exactly.
That's the nice thing.
And
you know?
Guys are cool. You're so easy to talk to. I do a lot
thank
of these.
You.
But this is like... This is real easy. You guys have a good energy together. And
yeah, everybody else is an imitation. Are you kidding me? This is the mothership right here. LA Talk
right?
Radio is
this
the
place
first.
Is awesome.
We were the first. We're the best. And everybody else is just copying from stuff. I mean, look, so the station decided that, you know, they didn't do video shows. We started doing video shows, right? But when we did, we made them different and better than everybody else with green screen, really professional like CNN, right? Now people are trying to do the same thing with green screen. But if you saw how pathetic and ridiculous it looks, I'm telling you, just to say I have a green screen is not enough. You got to know how to do it right.
I saw someone just put a sheet that was somewhat green up,
right.
And I'm like, it doesn't work that way, dude.
No, but yeah, exactly. No, but the green is supposed to knock out the background. So they put background that has nothing to do with this. The clipping, it's like there's a green halo around their head. It's like, come on, man. You know, you don't know how to do this shit. So that's why I'm saying we're the best and you better listen to us because this is where the action is, the station in general and this show in particular.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining us.
What an honor to be back.
Always
so
a lot
fun.
Of fun. You're
so
welcome back
fun.
Anytime.
It was wonderful meeting you.
Everybody
I had a great time.
Go to Amazon or go to Nick's website, Get Me, We, and Glee, or get the Book of Dude and find out how you can find a dude in every language, every culture. And
you can download my clean comedy CD, The Best of Nick Arnett.
There
so
you
that's
know.
On Amazon also, or iTunes. It's there, or from my website.
Sounds cool.
He's all over.
There you go. Yeah. He's all over the place. And I think we're already friends on Facebook, right?
Yes, so we are.
Yeah, because I see your stuff coming up every once in a while. So there you go. So all the best to you, Nick.
Thanks a lot.
All the best to you.
Back.
Right. Don't get crazy this weekend. Don't go to the, you know, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Like what?
I don't know.
Yeah, you just Saturday.
I'm hoping for an eHarmony date. Hoping for an eHarmony.
Let's all pray.
Yeah. There you go. So good stay vibe. There. You know, that's what I was going to say about matchmakers. You're going to pay $50,000 and then in the end you're going to meet somebody just on the street.
I know.
You know, and it's going to be the person nothing.
It's going to be person next to you on the way home that you meet.
Right. And it costs you nothing. You're like, "What the hell?" That I do.
That's right.
Anyway, have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you all here on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.